Let's take our Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3 is the text for the message this evening. And we just want to pick a few thoughts out from this that I trust will be a blessing and a help to us tonight and also throughout our summertime and so on. Certainly is the vacation time of the year in a lot of way, and some working tonight. We'd just be in prayer for those who are traveling and those who are working. And many would love to be here rather than wherever they may be as far as work goes. And if they're traveling, then it's always a mixed blessing. You like to get away, and you hate to be away from your church family as well. So be in prayer for one another. But let's look at these verses in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. The Bible says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Entitled the devotion for this evening, "A Worthy Walk." It's easy to become a Christian. Very simple to become a Christian. It's just receiving a gift by faith. It's easy to claim to be a Christian. Many people claim to know the Lord. For some, it's a way of classifying themselves as neither a Jew nor a Muslim, so therefore I must be a Christian. And some people, that's their definition of what a Christian is. But for other people, it is maybe a label that they think will acquire them some fame. And some people claim to be Christians because they think, well, then I'll get a Christian following and so on. So there's lots of people that claim to be Christian. It's very easy to do so. But the fact is that those who claim the name, according to God's word, are to live up to that title and live up to that name. And that's what these verses are talking about this evening. According to the Bible, according to our text this evening, people should be able to see Christ in us. Our life ought to exemplify something that it didn't used to exemplify, something it didn't used to stand for before. And so as we think about these thoughts from this portion of Scripture, a worthy walk, now that's really what we're looking at. Let's bow together in a word of prayer as we consider this tonight. Lord, thank you again for the songs we've been able to sing. Thank you for the testimonies that were shared, some of them by way of a favorite song and what that song means to them, some of it by particularly a testimony of something you've done in their life. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a living faith, a faith that has something to share. And Lord, it's not just a faith that looks back at a particular time and says, "I remember when," and talks that. But Lord, it's a faith that we have as a living faith, a real faith, that we can talk about things that are going on in our life today, knowing that you are there in those things and helping us through those things, guiding us in them, strengthening us in them, blessing us, Lord, in so many ways. And so we thank you that we can share these things together. Lord, as we give some thought to your word tonight and some time to your word, I pray that you speak to us. Lord, may this time be a special time. And though it's a shorter time in the word tonight, may it be that these thoughts would stick with us not only tonight, but also as we go throughout our week and throughout our days until you come again. And so we thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to realize that there is a motivation for our walk. You know, Stuart, it says in that verse that we read, the second word is therefore. I therefore. Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit recording these words. But he says, I, as the penman for this, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. It's always a good thing when you see therefore to see what it is therefore. What's it referring back to? You say, well, this is the beginning of the chapter, so it can't be referring back to anything. Don't let chapter division stop you from looking at a context. Sometimes we say, well, this is a brand new chapter, so it's a brand new thought. No, this is the chapter's there to help us find where we're at, but it doesn't mean that it totally starts a new thought. And so we look back then into chapter 3 to gain the context for the therefore that is in the beginning of the word here. Of course, the meaning of walk, before we even get to that, we're not talking about physically walking. I'm sure that with the exception of a newborn baby that's in our midst, we all walk and we know how to walk. We say, I don't need to know how to walk physically. I know how to put one foot in front of the other. We may be faster or slower than we used to be or what have you, depending on what part of life we're in. But we know how to walk physically. This is talking about our spiritual relationship with God. It's speaking about our deportment, how we carry ourselves, our manner of life. And so that is what we're dealing with when we say how the motivation for a worthy walk is what? We're talking about how and why we should be living a certain way. So going back into then the therefore goes back to obviously chapter 3, because the only thing that's in front of therefore is I, Paul writing it, so we have to go back to chapter 3 to get the context of the therefore. And we could probably look at many things, but we're going to just look at a couple things tonight. And that, first of all, is verses 16 to 19. I believe it's therefore, because we are strengthened from within. We are to walk a worthy walk because we are strengthened from within. And back in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, and Paul's praying here, and he says he prays for them that he, God, would grant you, the people of the church of Ephesus, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the motivation for us to walk differently than we used to walk before we became a Christian, or before we got serious in our life living for God? He says, therefore, referring to back to the fact that we are strengthened from within. This worthy walk begins because of what is taking place in our hearts. There's a change that takes place when we get saved. The Bible tells us that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And then as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He lives inside of us. And according to what Paul's prayer is there, he strengthens us in our faith. He strengthens us in our walk. And because the Holy Spirit has more control of our life, therefore, we can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. It's the motivation, it's the reason we can. Because we are rooted in God's Word, because we are grounded in the Word of God, because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, because we are rooted and grounded in that love according to the Word of God, therefore, we can walk worthy, and we should desire to walk worthy because of what's going on inside. God's doing a work in our life, and he says, I'm changing you, and I've made you a new creature, and now you need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Perhaps a deeper understanding of God's love is that which motivates us to live differently. Isn't that the thought behind Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Think about what Christ has done for you. And then you'll desire to live differently. You'll desire to walk a different walk. And so it goes back to this, the mercy of God, the understanding of God's love, being rooted and grounded by the Holy Spirit strengthening us. We are able and we're motivated to walk worthy of the vocation with we are called. Also, we see in verses 20 and 21 that walk is because we want to glorify Christ. He says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That was the comment was in the message this morning. God is able to do far more than we can even imagine. But look at this. Unto him, verse 21, be glory in the church. If you want to glorify Christ, if you want to bring glory to God, then we need to walk a different way. We need to walk a different manner than we did before. We say, my life was all about me before. My life was all about pleasing the flesh before. But now the Lord has changed me. I want to bring glory to His name. Therefore, I'm going to live differently than I lived before. It's a motivation. It motivates us to have a walk that is pleasing to God. To glorify Christ in the church, and we must so live that He should be glorified and He would be glorified. He's not glorified if we go on to continue in sin. But He is glorified when there's a change in our life that people can see from without. When that change that He has made in our heart shows in our life, that brings glory to God. He's glorified when we bear fruit. He's glorified when we walk in accordance with His Word. And so we need to realize that we don't walk a certain way because we have to. The preacher said, so I guess we have to. No, we have a walk, a worthy walk, because the Lord has changed us and He's giving us strength and He's transforming our life. And because we want to honor Him that has changed us and saved us, and we want to bring glory to Him, and therefore we want His love to shine through, that He would be glorified and people would be pointed to Him. We see that Paul also says he besought them. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy. Paul, one who lived the life himself, said, I beg you to live differently than you lived before. I implore you, I call on you, I challenge you to live in a way that honors God. To live in a way that shows what God has done for you. You realize that God could make us walk worthy, but He leaves the choice in our lap. He says, I beseech you to do it. I give you every reason to do it, but the choice is yours. God doesn't want robots. That's why He offers salvation. He says we have an opportunity to receive it. That's why the Christian life is about obedience to God and following God and choosing to serve Him. The children of Israel were challenged, choose you this day whom you will serve. They had a choice. You can go live like our fathers used to live on the other side of the flood, or you can choose to serve God. It's up to you. There's going to be consequences to either choice that you make, but you have a choice. God says you have a choice, but I want you to realize the reason that you should walk worthy. You should have a worthy walk. So there's a motivation for our walk. There's a model for our walk in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You realize that this is a worthy walk. What is a worthy walk? Worthy means appropriately. It means after a godly sort. You see, everyone has a walk. We all have a walk. You can't live your life and nobody see your life or what your life is about. What the way you live your life is your walk. So God says that you have a walk, but I want you to have a worthy walk. I want you to have an appropriate walk, considering what I've done, considering what's been taking place in your life. We are called to have a good walk, a worthy walk, an appropriate one, a godly one. There is an appropriate way for Christians to live. It's a way that God expects us to live so that others can see what He's done for us. And it is a vocation. Now, I realize that the word vocation often is used. What's your vocation? Well, I'm a pastor. What's your vocation? Well, I'm a tradesman. What's your vocation? Well, I'm a doctor. What's your vocation? We use that term and you say, what's your calling in life? What do you do with your life? And that's an appropriate use of the word. It means calling. But when we look at it in this way, we realize that it is a special calling, not just for one person, not just for the preacher, because he's writing to the church here, and he says, I want you as a church to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. As Christians, we have a vocation, a calling to walk right. We have a calling on our life. It's not some legalistic thing that the preacher makes us do, but it's a biblical principle that we would have a certain way to conduct our lives, that's a biblical way to conduct our lives. What is our calling as Christians? Our calling is to model Christ. Christian means Christ-like. We are to demonstrate Jesus Christ to those people that we face every day. I remember when I used to drive the bus over in Kitchener, we used to fuel up at a particular place. It was called Hog Fuel. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it used to be up in town, and we'd go fill up the bus there. We had a card lock system. We could go fill up the church bus down there. And on the way out of that place, because it was a company, I mean, they let us fuel there, and they sold fuel, but their main business is they had a trucking company, I believe cement delivery and that kind of thing. And when you pull out of the driveway, there's a huge big sign, and it said, you are Hog. Well, it wasn't saying you're driving a Harley, Hog. What was it saying? It was saying, reminding the drivers that represented with the big logo on the side of their trucks, when people look at the way you drive, that's a reflection on our company. So you are Hog. It was saying that you are, to the people that don't know who Hog is, you are Hog. Now, in the same way, Christian, our calling is to represent Jesus Christ, because to people who don't open a Bible and see what Jesus did and how He lived His life, to people who don't darken the door of a church to come in and hear a message or go search out a message online or on the radio or on TV and learn anything about Jesus Christ, when you tell them you're a Christian or when they hear that you are a Christian, to them you are Christ in that sense. You represent Jesus Christ. You are a Christ-like one. You picture Jesus Christ to them. They are looking at your life saying, that is what a Christian is. That is how Jesus must expect people to live, or that's how Jesus designed for people to live. And so Jesus is our example. We are to follow His example. He said in John 13:15, after He washed the disciples' feet, He said, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. An example. He is our example in His service, in His humble servitude that He served the disciples and washed their feet. He said, I've given you an example and what we should do as He'd done. Not necessarily physically to take someone's shoes off and wash their feet, but to be willing to serve one another. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it said, the Bible says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are to be molded after, to bent to the shape of, that's what conformed means, the image of Jesus Christ. And our lives in this life ought to be more and more so that we are being conformed to that image. And ultimately, when we stand before Him, as was prayed tonight at the beginning of the service, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But until that time, we are to design our life to be conformed to His image, to follow after. Paul said, be ye followers of Me, even as I am also of Christ. And we as Christians can say, listen, we want to point you to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we live in such a way that you will see Christ in us. Be followers. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians here. He says in verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. We see we're following the example of Christ. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. See, talk is cheap. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian. You say you abide in Christ. You say you're a Christian. Then you ought to walk as He walked. You ought to follow the example of Christ to be a testimony of Jesus Christ. To follow His example, His sacrificial example of God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another, 1 John 3:16. It's showing the love, the demonstration of the love. And so our vocation, our calling is to model our lives after Jesus Christ, to live like Him. The motivation we've seen in chapter 3 and the model here in verse 1 and then the manner of our walk in verses 2 and 3. How did Jesus live? He lived with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ is our example. He lived in lowliness and meekness. Those two words go well together, lowliness and meekness, and aptly describe, of course, Jesus Himself. He said in Matthew 11:29, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I am meek and lowly, Jesus said. We want to follow His example. Paul says, with all lowliness and meekness. Lowliness is speaking of modesty and humbleness of mind, humility. Romans 12:3 says that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we ought to think soberly according to God has given us the measure of faith. We are to be lowly-minded people, humility of mind, remembering that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, as is said numerous times in the Word of God, being in Proverbs 3:34 and James 4:6 and 1 Peter chapter 5 and so on. And so following the example of our Lord, we're to be humble people because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ pictures humility, lowliness, of mind and meekness. Meekness is gentleness, implied humility. We won't be gentle in our dealings with people if we're filled with pride. And so we're besought here to follow our Lord's example, to be lowly and to be meek. 1 Timothy 6:11 says we're to follow after meekness. 2 Timothy 2:25 says that we're in meekness, we're to instruct those who seem to oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. See, we could get very frustrated with people when they won't listen or when to the message of the gospel. Say, just forget it. But we realize they're opposing themselves because they're rejecting the very thing that they very need the most in their life. And so the Lord says, meekly share with them and teach them and try to share Christ with them because it's the thing that they need the most, even though they're opposing them or their own selves in that matter. Moses is described as being the meekest man on the earth. We need people who are meek and lowly today. That doesn't mean that we're wimpy. Jesus was in no way a wimp. But he was meek and lowly. It means that we see ourselves for who we are in the sight of God and we're willing to help others and bring them along on their journey. Jesus chose to be meek and lowly. And then long-suffering. Long-suffering is basically patience. Again, isn't it tied to humility? Isn't it pride that says, my time is more important than yours, so hurry up? Isn't it pride that says, just you're bothering me, just go away? But humility makes us have patience with people. We're willing to work with others. We recognize that I'm not perfect, and therefore they're not perfect, so therefore I need to see if God can use me to help them. You realize how patient Jesus was? I mean, I know that he let the Pharisees and the scribes have it sometimes, but they deserved more, a lot more than they got. Really. He was so patient with the disciples, wasn't he? I mean, they just didn't get it so many times when they should have got it. I mean, you and I would have just gone into a wall and gone, bang, boom, boom, I don't understand. Don't you just get it? But the Lord was merciful. He was long-suffering to them. He was patient with them. If we follow the example of the Lord, we must be a people who are long-suffering. And then that loving forbearance, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing means putting up with or to bear with. Why would we put up with somebody? Because we love. We choose to love them. Forbearing one another in love. In love, we need to suffer through with others. That's what it means to put up with, to bear with. Again, it goes along with humility and patience. They're all tied in so closely together. Taking the time to help other people. Hanging in there with people as they learn and grow. It takes love, we know, because 1 Corinthians 13 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. For the love of others and for the love of our God, we must forbear people. And then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Unity, again, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, comes to unity, doesn't it? It comes to working together. It comes to being patient with people, to suffer along with them, to be meek and lowly, and we forbear them, and it brings unity. Unity in the family, unity in the church, those things are honoring to the Lord. You say, how do you know? Because he says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. In Psalm 133, and verse number 1, there's all kinds of things that can pull people apart, but lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearance will bring people together. Think of how often the Lord settled the disciples down when they were squabbling. And when we think about those 12 guys and we think, well, they were a unit. No, Jesus walking along said, hey, follow me. And they followed him. And hey, you guys follow me. And yes, yeah, some of them fished together and worked together. But some of them, I mean, tax collector and fishermen. I mean, they were from different walks of life. They were from different parts of the countryside. And yet, Jesus brought them together and he brought unity in the midst of those men. Why? Because he was lowly, he was meek, he was long-suffering with them, he forbore with them, and therefore it brought unity to those people. When people look at your life, they see a walk. But what walk do they see? Do they see a worthy walk? See, it's easy to say, well, I'm a Christian, but do you have a worthy walk? That's what we're called to. Our lives should reflect the Lord who has changed our heart and our life. Somebody said your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. That's a tongue twister, I realize, but it's not saying that we shouldn't talk. We should talk. We should tell people how to be a Christian. We should tell people we are Christians, but our life should back up our talk. And so tonight, as we just for a few moments looked at these verses, may we be challenged to have a worthy walk. We're motivated. We have a model. And we need to realize that this is what it is all about, is to be walking like our Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again that we can be here, and thank you for the opportunity we have to look at these verses of Scripture. Lord, we've been blessed tonight by our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to go downstairs and share some things together. And Lord, I pray that even down there, our fellowship would be sweet one with another. And Lord, that you would be glorified in that. Thank you for those who brought the refreshments. And we thank you for the refreshments and pray that they would be blessed to our use as well. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.